You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Fairway, like no other market. Hello, and welcome to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. I am the host of Why We Cook, Erica Wides. I am a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education in Manhattan. And Why We Cook is broadcast live every Tuesday night at 6:30 from the station built behind Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And it's a nice chilly night, and there's a big fire roaring in the outdoor fireplace, and things are looking good. It's almost Thanksgiving, feeling pretty good. So tonight's episode of Why We Cook is all about a few random things that I'm feeling thankful for. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone, first of all. And tonight, I want to talk about things that I'm thankful or grateful for. Now, please don't groan and say, because this is not like a Hallmark Channel kind of special holiday season kind of thing. But it's more like, let's just kind of come up with the five random things that come into your head that make you feel really grateful and really thankful this time of year. It's that kind of thing. So I'm turning 42 tomorrow, if you can believe it. And I've been cooking professionally now for 17 years. And I've traveled enough in the developing world, also called the third world, and also right here in the U.S. to know how good most Americans have it. There's certainly plenty of poverty here, but most of us, we have it pretty good. We have a pretty comfortable life. And we all still tend to get really whiny, especially me. There's always plenty to complain about, especially right now. It's hard to feel really good or really positive about much, and I am guilty as everyone else of that, probably even more so. And, you know, especially when you live in a city like New York, it's really hard to not constantly compare yourself to other people. And, you know, in the age of guys like Bernie Madoff and his ilk, it's hard to not start feeling really negative about everything. You know, you got to keep things in perspective, even though it's hard. And you need to appreciate the ease that we generally, with which we generally conduct our lives, so how easily we can obtain safe food, clean, drinkable water, things like that, how cheaply we can buy consumer goods. Although they are usually made at the expense of laborers elsewhere, we do have access to a lot of stuff. So I'm trying to think of things that we can all remain positive about. And living in this hyper-cynical age, as we do, I tend to get bogged down in that, in cynicism and sarcasm. And I can be pretty down generally on most of what I see around me. But there are still things out there that actually can really make me very thankful and very grateful, and, you know, make my heart sing with joy and with gratefulness. And I occasionally need to remind myself or be reminded of them. So in the spirit of the season, I thought that that's what we would talk about this week. And these are all really, really simple things, nothing too major, just things that have meaning to somebody like me, someone who is a somewhat jaded, highly opinionated, often very sarcastic Generation Xer kind of person, but someone who can also still cry during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. So, and since this week is Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is one of the two holidays where I actually cook like a full meal. The other one is Passover. Even though I'm a chef, I don't actually really cook all that much. The list, of course, will skew heavily towards food because that's what this show is about. It's called Why We Cook. And really, other than food, well, what else is there in life that's really all that important? Maybe having really good socks. I like having good socks. And maybe, you know, having the right pillow so you sleep well. But mostly it's all about food. Okay, so the first item on my list, not really a thing. It's more of an event or a place. And it's something called the New Amsterdam Public Market. And I will be cooking this week for Thanksgiving for about 11 people, which is really not a big deal for me. That's no problem. It's small. But I really wanted the meal this year to be kind of as locavore as possible, as locally sourced as I could. And my turkey, of course, is a heritage breed turkey, thanks to Patrick at Heritage Foods. And I'm excited about that. That turkey's in the fridge now. It's getting a little salt rubbed down, curing silently away in the fridge. And almost all the vegetables and sides are things that I have bought at my local green market, my farmer's market at Borough Hall in Brooklyn. I went this morning. But I also wanted some other kind of special, locally produced small things, some treats, some artisanally made stuff to add to it. I wanted to buy from people who were creating food right, you know, basically in my greater neighborhood. So this past Sunday, we walked from our apartment over the bridge, over the Brooklyn Bridge into Manhattan to the New Amsterdam Public Market, which is a great event, a great venue that's been created to give local and artisanal food purveyors, growers, producers a place to sell. And it's once a month, and they do it from summer until Christmas. The next one will be, I think, a week or two before Christmas. And they have it way, way downtown in a space that's in front of the old Fulton Street Fish Market building. So it has some really great historical significance too. That part of Manhattan has been a food market for hundreds of years. And they sell all kinds of stuff, from New York State wines and hard ciders to produce and vegetables and fruit, and lots of great cheeses from various cheese producers and also cheese purveyors in New York. Really good bread, really good pickles. There were fresh oysters being shucked. I slurped down a few of those. Kimchi, chocolate, dried beans, all kinds of great, great stuff. And so the stuff that's on sale is really super high quality, and there's all kinds of stuff to taste. And there's also prepared food like roasted pork sandwiches from Porchetta, which is in the city. I actually ate two of those. Lobster rolls, squash soup. There's really good stuff. And we were there for a couple hours just tasting and buying and relatively crazy. And we bought a lot of stuff. But that's okay, because all of it is really good, and the money goes directly to the producers and the growers, not to a middleman. So that makes me really happy. And being able to have a market like that in New York once a month, plus the fact that you can basically go to a farmer's market every single day in New York somewhere in the city, makes me very happy, and I am very grateful for that. That is something to be thankful for. Because when I come home and I turn on the TV and I see ads for frozen microwavable pancakes or pre-scrambled eggs, or I see the slop that's served up at chain restaurants around the country, like the Olive Garden, I feel extremely lucky to live in a place where those aren't my only choices. And to know that all across the U.S. there are now people who are embracing the small batch, locally grown, artisanal, small farmer lifestyle and growing and producing and creating all these really great, honest kinds of food in small, intensive batches, creating food the way it used to be made. I know it's not an answer on a global scale or even on a national scale, but it gives me hope and it gives me optimism that people are trying to counteract the industrialization that we've seen in our food for the past 50, 60 years, that there are options out there to the mass-produced, industrialized, agribusiness kinds of food that we all had to grow up with because that's the only choice we had. So I feel like people are embracing all of that. And that right there, along with the New Amsterdam Market, is enough to be thankful about. I could end the show right here and be done, but I'm not going to because I have a lot more to talk about. And this is a show tonight about lists, and there are more items on the list. So we are going to take a very short break, and we'll be right back with the rest of the list. to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Fairway, like no other market. Welcome back to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. You may be listening to this show live tonight, but you can also always listen to any show ever that has been done on the archive at heritageradionetwork.com. Or now you can podcast all of our shows on iTunes also, so you can always take us with you. And if you are a fan of Why We Cook, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Facebook. Just look for Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network on Facebook. And you can become a fan. You can send me a message, questions, comments, criticism. I'm open to all of it. I can take it. Let me know what you think of the show. I would love to hear from you. Okay, so tonight's show, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, is all about things that I am thankful and or grateful for in my life. I tend to be a little bit cynical sometimes. And as I said to somebody the other day, my first language was sarcasm. So I'm trying to let go of some of that and remember the things that I'm thankful for. So the first thing I talked about in the first segment was the New Amsterdam Public Market in New York, and also the availability of farmers markets all over the city. The second item that I am thankful for, this is a little bit random, is the cruciferous vegetable family, and most specifically something called broccoli romanesco. I know this all sounds a little bit random, but if you are not familiar with broccoli romanesco, you should be. It is a truly spectacular vegetable. It's on the menu here at Roberta's, and I will be ordering it in about 20 minutes when I get off the air because I'm starving and I get to eat dinner here tonight. I first encountered broccoli romanesco about 10 years ago when I lived in Rome for a couple months. I had never seen it before, and I saw it in the market near our house, and I could not believe that a vegetable could look that way. If you're not familiar with it, it's in the broccoli family. It's more like a cauliflower in texture. It's very, very bright lime green, sort of a pale, bright green. It's got about the same dimensions as a head of broccoli, but the florets, instead of being rounded on top, form this like twisted spiral of geometric patterns. Technically, they're called fractals, if you're familiar with fractals. And it is amazing looking, and it has a really delicious kind of gentle broccoli flavor and a texture more like cauliflower, and it's great. It's really, really good roasted. It's really good just blanched and served cold. It's just really, really good. And I was looking it up on Wikipedia because I wanted to see what they said about it, and I loved how Wikipedia describes the shape of it. It's like really, really nerdy and really academic, and I love that. This is what Wikipedia says. The vegetable resembles a cauliflower, but is of a light green color, and the inflorescence, the bud, has an approximate self-similar character, with the branched meristems making a logarithmic spiral. The broccoli's shape could be described as fractal. Each bud is composed of a series of smaller buds all arranged in yet another logarithmic spiral. So that's how Wikipedia describes it. I describe it as kind of groovy, psychedelic, geometric, swirly. But you get the picture. Anyway, if you Google it, you can see some pictures of it. I tried to put a picture up on my Facebook site, but I don't know what happened. But anyway, just Google it. You can see pictures of it. And so you'll know what I'm talking about. And I started to see it popping up here in the U.S. at farmers markets about 6 or 7 years ago. And now it's everywhere. I think it's become very popular, but it's on restaurant menus. I've seen it in farmers markets. But last night I ate dinner at a restaurant called Aldea, which is on 17th Street in Manhattan, which is really, really good. Kind of Portuguese influence, but a lot of other really cool stuff. Really nice. Really kind of sophisticated without being stuffy. Really great flavors. I highly recommend the restaurant. One of the things I had on the menu was just a kind of mixed seasonal market vegetables served cold with a yogurt coriander puree and then some nice white anchovies draped over the top. And if I see white anchovies anywhere, I order them. And there was broccoli romanesco in it too. So I ordered that, and it was just perfect. It was so good because the little fishies were just like the perfect condiment for the crunchy kind of texture of the broccoli romanesco. And it was like a perfect combination. And so I ordered that, and it was great. So the second item on the list is definitely broccoli Romanesco. I am very, very thankful for its existence. And that brings me to number three, which is, of course, white anchovies, also known as boquerones in Spain. Now, if you have never seen me or never met me, you don't know this, but I am very small. I am very, very small, like under 5 feet tall, small. I am 4'11". But when people meet me, they always say, huh, you're only 4'11"? You seem a lot taller than that. Usually if I'm sitting down, they say that. But I think it's because I have a big personality. So they think I'm taller, maybe. But because I'm small, I also tend to like really small things and really teeny tiny things, like anything miniature, small rooms, small houses. And one of the best tiny things in the world is the anchovy. A couple months ago, I did a show on here. I did an episode of Why We Cook called Funny Little Salty Cured Things. And that was a show all about things like capers and olives and anchovies and how they may be tiny, but they are huge, huge packages of gigantic flavor. And the white anchovy, which I said is called boquerones in Spain, those guys I think are the cream of the anchovy crop. It's like why they're white, because they're the cream of the crop. They have this like velvety, smooth, kind of salty richness, and they're really, really full of umami. You know, I've talked about umami in here. They have like super umaminess, and they basically just bounce right off the plate. They have so much flavor. And at Aldea, they were paired with the broccoli Romanesco, and it was definitely a marriage made in my non-believer vision of what heaven is like. If there's a heaven, they serve these foods there. So on my list of things that I am thankful for this week, I am putting the lovely little white anchovy right up there at the top. They are on the list. And what you also want to remember about anchovies, which I've talked about, is that they are a perfect secret ingredient for you to put in your flavor toolbox. The flavor toolbox that you should all have, where you have secret ingredients that you need for bringing up the flavor of other things. I made a soup over the weekend from kale and chickpeas and some other vegetables, and I put some anchovies in there. Not the white ones, because they're too good to mush up and cook into something. They're special and should be just eaten on their own. But just the regular old canned cheapo anchovies, I just mashed them up in the oil with garlic as I was starting the soup. And they just add this really kind of strong underlayer of mysterious depth and salty flavor. What they're adding is umami, and people don't know that they're there, but they're there, and they are really a magical addition. Okay, so we have to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna finish up the list. Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Fairway, like no other market. Welcome back to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host, and tonight I am talking about things that I am thankful for. It is Thanksgiving. So I talked in the first segment about New Amsterdam Public Market and the green markets in New York, and then I talked about broccoli Romanesco, and then I talked about anchovies. I'm all over the place here. What I want to talk about next isn't really a food per se, but without it, there would be no food or any life on this planet at all. And that thing is water, and specifically New York City tap water. Like I said earlier, I've traveled a lot in the third world or the so-called developing world, and I am not a soda drinker at all. I can't stand it. I don't like it. I won't drink it. The occasional seltzer or a tonic water, but I don't drink soda. So that means when I travel to places with unsafe drinking water, I have to buy and drink bottled water. And that also means that I have to create more plastic waste, which in most countries is not recycled. And it makes me crazy to have to buy water. But when you're traveling somewhere and it's a health and safety issue, of course, you have no choice. But that makes me appreciate the fact that I live in a city that has exceptionally clean, tasty tap water. New York City has some of the best water in the country, and we get it from these huge reservoirs that are located up in the Catskill Mountains and in Upper Westchester County, and it's consistently rated as the cleanest and best tasting nationwide, and I have to agree. I think it's great. And if you ever get a chance to visit the Croton Reservoir and Dam in Westchester, you should, because it's one of the most unbelievable sights I've ever seen, and I've been all over the world. And apparently, it is the largest hand-hewn stone structure on the planet. I'm not really sure what that means, because I thought the pyramids were, but the Croton Dam is the largest hand-hewn stone structure on the planet. Anyway, to be able to turn on a faucet in New York and greedily drink as much free, clean, and fresh drinking water as you would like is a luxury that we take for granted so deeply that we don't even think about it. We just turn on the water and out it comes. And that's what makes me so bewildered when people insist on actually spending money to buy water in plastic bottles. The resources that are used to make the bottle, package the water, transport the bottle, refrigerate the bottle, and then recycle the bottle are so huge and so completely wasteful that I think it's shameful. And I am not a religious person at all. But if there is one sin that I believe in, it is the sin of waste. For people to buy plastic bottles full of water, I think, is a terrible, terrible sin. And New York City tap water also tastes really good, and we are really lucky in that regard, because I've been around this country, and I have tasted some water in other parts of the country, and it does not taste good. Sometimes I'll try to use a Brita filter for my water when I remember, but most often it's just right out of the tap. I have no problem with that. And what you also need to know is that some bottled waters like Dasani and Aquafina are just municipal tap water anyway. It's coming right out of a tap, it's filtered, and it's put in a bottle. So what's the point in buying them? You should just drink the tap water. Get yourself a Brita, or get a water filter that you can install under your sink and do it that way. So New York City tap water, in all of its thirst-quenching, free-flowing deliciousness, is definitely on my list of things that I am thankful for this year. To be able to turn on my tap and have clean, fresh water for free is something that we all need to stop and appreciate once in a while. Okay, so we got to get through this list because we're running out of time. So the show tonight is all about being thankful. And most of the things I've been talking about have been food related. So I couldn't really come up with one definitive number five. We've been through the first four. So number five is a sublist of a few smaller things. So number 5/1, PG Tips tea bags. There is nothing that I love more than my morning cup of tea. I go to bed at night thinking about getting up and making my cup of tea in the morning. And it's what gets me out of bed in the morning, knowing that I can get up, I can fill up the kettle with that New York City water, bring it to a boil, and make myself my cup of tea. It's the tiny things in life, apparently. And as a food professional, you would think that I'd be buying some hand-harvested, organic, fair trade, really expensive, high-end tea, you know, loose leaf, all of that. But, and I probably should. But that pyramid-shaped tea bag in that white box from England is what I need in the morning, and I'm going to keep it that way. I love my PG Tips. Okay, number 5/2, my favorite protein, the squid. I could give up all other fish and sea creatures and just eat squid once a week, and I would be happy. And with the way that our fisheries are looking these days, that may be something that will happen soon enough anyway. I am appreciative and grateful of the squid because I love the texture of it. I love the flavor and I love what you can do with them. They're very versatile. I love them grilled. I love to marinate them with something that has a little sugar in it. So when I grill it, the edges get caramelized and charred and crispy. I love it. And what I love also about squid is that almost every culture that eats shellfish eats the squid. It's universal. And I just hope that we don't take our love of squid so far that we start overfishing them too, because that would be terrible if we overfished them into oblivion like so many others of our sea creatures. But so far, according to Monterey Bay Aquarium and Seafood Watch, we're okay with the squid. So even though it's an odd choice for a list of things I'm grateful for during Thanksgiving, squid makes the cut. One of the things I'm grateful for. Okay, the next, organic rolled oats. I don't think there's been an episode of this show where I haven't mentioned oatmeal or discussed how I prepared it that day. It's kind of this oddly recurring theme on the show, but I love my oatmeal and I love it with all sorts of different things mixed into it. And I buy organic rolled oats from Paralandra in Brooklyn Heights. It's a health food store. And I buy it in bulk and it's like $1.59 a pound, something like that. It's cheap as dirt. It's one of the best things that you can eat. And if you're buying oatmeal, you have to buy rolled oats, old-fashioned oats, or steel-cut oats. Don't buy instant oatmeal and don't buy quick-cooking oatmeal. Those are oats that have basically been pre-digested for you. You're not going to get the same sort of health benefits for you. They're not worth eating. So right up there with PG Tips in the morning is my beloved old-fashioned rolled organic oats. Fills my heart with gratefulness every morning when I'm eating them. Okay, couple more. We're running out of time. The next one, flaky sea salt, Malden or otherwise. Last summer when I first started the show, I did two entire episodes on salt, so I'm not really going to go into it. You can go back and listen to the shows on the archive. But knowing that there are people working out there in the world hand harvesting special salt so that I can cook with it and eat it makes me feel very grateful to them and to the ocean for producing it. Thank you, ocean, for making special flaky sea salt. And thank you, salt harvesting people. Okay, and the last one on my list tonight, we're just about out of time. This is number five of number five. I am very thankful and very grateful to the Heritage Radio Network, of which I have the privilege of being a part of every week. To be able to sit here in this beautiful hand-built studio behind this great restaurant every Tuesday night and have the opportunity to talk about whatever I want to talk about, and to know that people are making the choice to spend their precious, valuable time listening to me is an unbelievable honor, and I'm very thankful for that. Being able to have this opportunity makes me very happy. I love doing the show, so I want to thank Heritage Radio Network this Thanksgiving for giving me this opportunity. I want to thank my listeners, those of you who have been listening, who have emailed me, who have sent me notes. It's been great to hear from you. And I want to thank everybody who's involved in the shows, Patrick and Heather and Lorenzo and Nat and Jack, who all help make this happen every week. So those are things that I'm feeling thankful for this week, this Thanksgiving. I hope you'll stop and think about some of these things in your life this week, too. I want everybody to have a great holiday, and I will be back next week with more Why We Cook.